One of the most dramatic turning points in Joseph's life is his fall from a respected and powerful position in Potiphar's house in Egypt to the status of a prisoner in jail. In the rabbinic tradition, this moment is seen not merely as a downfall, but as a moment of personal choice, a point at which Yosef chooses to invest in a future. He chooses active continuity rather than starting anew. Interestingly, the character who represents this choice is one from his past, his father. Yosef, we recall, was sold and taken to Egypt and seems to be succeeding in his new life. One might wonder why Yosef from this high position does not reach out to his father and home. But the fact that he does not has a clear implication. It seems that Yosef is not looking back. He lives now, seemingly divorced from his past and trying to build a life anew. He imagines he is starting completely over in Egypt with no guardrails from his upbringing or any intention to continue the old mold. The verses describe Yosef's elevated status in the house of his master. Potiphar took a liking to Yosef. He made him his personal attendant and put him in charge of his household, placing in his hands all that he owned. He left all that he had in Yosef's hands. Yosef's trustworthiness, and with it his status and freedom, are described as virtually limitless. But so too is the depth of his fall. So Yosef's master had him put in prison. Yosef's downfall is triggered when his master's wife confronts him with a demand, one that, if accepted, would constitute a betrayal of his master. The verses tell us his master's wife cast her eyes upon Yosef and said, "Lie with me," but he refused. She said, "Lie with me." Her demand is persistent and unrelenting, much as she coaxed Yosef day after day. But Yosef refused, vayema'en, and not just once. His refusal is repeated, consistent, and firm. He did not yield to her request to lie beside her, to be with her. The Torah seems to present Yosef's resolve as ironclad. How then could I do this most wicked thing and sin before God? However, a closer look at the word vayema'en, and he refused, reveals something else beneath the surface. The cantillation mark, the te'amim, or trope, above this word is a rare shalshelet, which appears only 4 times in the Torah, 3 of them in Genesis. The shalshelet is a long and drawn-out sound, its melody rising and falling in repeated waves. Vayema'en. It conveys hesitation, inner turmoil, an emotional struggle. Yosef's refusal, according to this tradition, is a moment of internal conflict, wrestling with the temptation to give in to Potiphar's wife's advances. What runs through Yosef's mind in the moments between the drawn-out hesitation marked by the word vayema'en, he refused, crowned by the shalshelet, and the decisive action of got away and fled outside, as told by the Torah? The verses suggest 2 possible sources of inner resistance. The first is Yosef's loyalty to his master. The second is Yosef's loyalty to the master, to God. Yosef recognizes that succumbing to this act would not only be a betrayal of human trust, but also a transgression against the divine. The Babylonian Talmud in Tractate Sotah offers a 3rd interpretation that is in line with this distinctive trope mark. According to this Midrashic interpretation, Yosef's father plays a central role, not as a symbol of tradition or moral instruction from the past, but as a figure representing Yosef's potential future. And the Midrash tells us as follows. Rabbi Yochanan said, on the verse, One such day, he came into the house to do his work. This teaches us that both Yosef and Potiphar's wife had intended to commit a transgression. This midrash begins by suggesting that something changed on that particular day. Unlike previous occasions, when Yosef firmly resisted Potiphar's wife's advances, this time he too came with the intent to give in. This idea is reinforced by the rare shalshelet, cantillation mark above the word vayema'en, and he refused, earlier in the narrative. Yosef hesitates and lingers, and it appears he is on the verge of giving in. If, as the Midrash suggests, Yosef was prepared to yield, what stopped him? Why did he flee at the last minute? The Midrash continues with its dramatic answer. At that moment, the image of his father appeared and was visible to him in the window. Just as the temptation reaches its peak, when both Potiphar's wife and Yosef himself are prepared to act, the figure of Yaakov, Yosef's father, appears in the window. It is perhaps not surprising that the figure who holds the moral line, the one who calls for ethical behavior and social responsibility, a call likely tinged with some guilt over the very thought of yielding to temptation, is none other than Yosef's father. But the Midrash doesn't stop there. The voice of the father that appears to Yosef is not the voice of the law, nor the voice of social norms, nor even the voice of tradition. It is a voice turned towards the future. Yaakov said to him, "Yosef, your brothers are destined to be engraved on the stones of the ephod, and you will be among them. Do you wish for your name to be erased from their midst?" This is not simply a rebuke. It is a reminder of destiny. Yaakov's intervention speaks to Yosef's potential role in something larger than himself, a future of shared identity and national purpose. Yaakov's image appearing to his son at this decisive moment warns Yosef that he is about to make a choice that could erase him from a meaningful future. And this warning certainly surprises Yosef. Intimacy is, of course, deeply tied to the future. And at this moment, Yosef, sold by his brothers, cut off from family and connection, living alone in Egypt, may feel entirely unmoored, nothing but a man of the present. Perhaps, in his mind, laying with this woman might offer some sense of connection, perhaps even a future. At that moment, according to the Midrash, the image of Yosef's father appears, reminding him of his past and declaring that he still has a future in relation with that past. In that future, his brothers have a place. They are inscribed on the stones of the ephod, and Yosef has a place among them. Thus, in this moment, Yosef faces a choice. Will he choose a future among his brothers, or will he choose this moment, the present, with Potiphar's wife? In a striking reversal, it is the figure of the father, a symbol of the past, who represents the future. And not just the future in general, but Yosef's ability to participate in it, to take responsibility, to have a voice in shaping what comes next, as one of the names engraved on the ephod stones. If Yosef chooses not to see Yaakov, not to see the past, he will also not be seen by the future. A refusal to look back becomes a refusal to be visible in the future. We often think of our parents or ancestors as symbols of the past who are backward-facing. This midrash suggests that only if we are attentive to the past can we open a door to the future. Shabbat Shalom.